What we want to do today is we want to talk about our life groups, the small group aspect of our fellowship. So, you know, I've been on this series of the foundations of our faith, and we're going to just take a little pause button on that today to do what we're doing today. And I wanted Mark up here for a long time. Mark, you've been the small group guru, the guy. And if we wanted to do anything with small groups, we'd come and talk to you, and you kind of headed that up. Now, mid-year last year, you and I kind of started talking, and I think we were, I don't know, I remember just kind of talking in the midst of you building some kind of contraption in a van or something in the middle of the summer.
That's right.
And we just began to talk about this idea of about wanting to take a stronger, more focused, strategic effort towards our small groups in our church for two reasons. One is for connectivity. We want some kind of a platform that's greater relational connect than this platform. How many of you know this isn't the greatest relational connect platform? This is good to worship together, to hear the word, and to maybe shake each other's hands and how you doing kind of a thing, and out the door we go. And if we're lucky, we ask each other to dinner or something and connect there. But a lot of times, this is not really the place where deep relationships are forged. But those small groups are, and you have such a history with that. But we began to kind of seek the Lord, and what we really felt was that the Lord was highlighting Rory and Breezy to us at that time. And I'm talking the whole thing. Maybe you don't have to be up here, but
yeah, it's fine.
You can stay.
Yeah.
I don't talk too much.
I do want to say something.
Okay, good.
Because Justin said we're taking a break from foundations. Let me tell you, this is maybe one of the most important foundational aspects of life in our church. Is how do you connect with one another? It's love God and love your neighbor, right? And so it happens through life groups. So that's a very, very big deal, and we've really bought into it. We've been doing it a long, long time, but what we realize is some people are just better at maybe, you know, bringing other people in, doing the different kinds of organization, because I get kind of in the rut where I'm just rolling along, and I don't want to stretch out beyond myself too well, and that's a big part of why we saw and they'll talk about, I think, your experience, so I won't tell it for them. But we saw this potential of leadership through Rory and Breezy that was very exciting, because I believe that this is one of the most critical parts of our growth in God. I mean, no kidding. Like, one of the most important things we can do is to connect with people in a real way. And this is that line I've thought about and said before is, you can't sit on Sunday morning and look at your neighbor and say, I think you have a demon on your head. Right? I think you have problems. We really need to pray. But you can do that in a life group. You can do some powerful, profound ministry in a life group that changes you. Right? And so if you're ready for change, like you say, well, church is just something I do. I just get up, I go, whatever. If you want to see real life start happening with God and with people, that's where it occurs. Right.
The second thing that comes to mind, one of that first one, community relationship, the second one is discipleship. The second one is actually growing in your faith. And what I have found, and I think most people would agree, is that we have those maybe four or five or six just messages that just changed our life, right? But we have a message every Sunday. And though they're good, they're probably not as life-changing as those coffees and those friendships and those dialogues that you have with people in the midst of your crises, in the midst of life. What's going on in your marriage, what's going on in your walk, having people encourage you to read your Bible, to pray, praying with people, that has forged who I am. I've heard of some good messages that have really caused me to think and have caused me to then go to my relationship and say, man, I'm just on fire with this thing, what do you think, that kind of stuff. And so many, many studies have been done, you guys, that our faith actually grows more in relational discipleship than it does in hearing a teaching. All right? Now, I like doing, I'm a teacher, I'm for that. All right? But as far as you guys actually growing, actually maturing, a huge dynamic of that is taking what you've heard and then in a relational context, dialoguing about it, and praying about it and letting the Lord touch you in that place. And so that's the second main reason why we really want to go after this in a strong way, because we really feel that's in two very important parts of our faith is the relationships that we have and the discipleship that we've received. So there it is. Now, kind of going back to Rory and Breezy. No, you got to stay up here because we got this real important thing we do where we lay on hands and that kind of thing. All right. So when I approached them about this actually at my house. You guys had just come back for, I think, a wedding. Somebody got married, Ryan and Jessica. Who was it? Tanner and Sarah. Ryan and Jessica got married too, but so Tanner and Sarah got married. You guys were here. I don't know if you remember, but we were just out on my deck, and I get weepy, right? I mentioned this. I just kind of, well, I would really think that when you guys come back, this is something that we'd like you to consider doing. And I remember you specifically, Breezy, got teary, and I got teary. And it was just like, that was something that was so on their hearts, and to have that confirmation. So we've just kind of, this journey has been, what I want to kind of say is this journey has been almost a year in the making, leading up to today. And so why don't you guys come up here, Rory and Breezy. We're going to let them share kind of more of their story of how they, let's give these guys a hand as they make their way up. That was weak. Come on. There you go. Of how they have kind of come to this place. But what we want to do is we want to do something that I have found is mysteriously powerful. And we're called to do it that as when we officially give authority to someone in the church family, what we're supposed to do is the leaders, the elders of the church are supposed to lay their hands on them, anoint them with oil, and commission them to do it. Now, I've never seen fireworks when that happens. I've never seen a dove ascend, you know, descend from the sky and land, but something happens. And I've seen that over and over, that if you don't do this step, there is a lack of spiritual authority that happens. And when you do this step, there's just a stronger thing. And so we just honor the word when we do this. It's a powerful thing. It's an important thing. And so we just want to commission these guys as directors of life groups before they give their little presentation. So let's have the rest of our elders come up. And then right when we pray, I'm going to ask a few families, and I don't care who you are, but we want some kids, we want some older people, we want some younger people, and you can define that for yourself, to come up and lay hands on, because this is about our family. This is about our church family and who they're going to be ministering to, and it's the family. And so we just want to do this. So we're going to just, we're going to speak a few words as an elder team, and then I'm just going to invite, you know, just come up on your own accord. Let's have, you know, a dozen of you come up, and I definitely want some kids. So kids, some of you, I want you to come up and lay hands on these guys when I ask you to. So we just want to begin to pray. Lord, we're grateful for Rory and Breezy, for the burden that you've given them, for what's on their heart to do. And when we say this is of you, and we see this on them, we see this passion, the wisdom, the drive that you've given them, to see life groups, to see relationships grow, discipleship grow, and we ask you right now, God, that you would commission and establish them. Lord, we receive their gifts. Let's just extend our hands as a family. God, we receive their gifts. And we call them out right now that they would lead from the place of authority and wisdom and grace. We just commission them right now in Jesus' name.
Rory, I want you to look at me. I remember standing in this building, laying hands on you and imparting to you an extension of the mantle of your Father. And so again this morning, I remind you and I remind myself and I remind this fellowship, this body, the calling on your life. And so, Father God, I come before you right now. And I pray that as the mantle of the authority of the Word of God that came through His Father in this city to have a dynamic impact upon many, many people's lives, I again remind you, God, of your calling upon Roy's life and your impartation upon him and upon Breezy in this hour to bring about another season of fruit and blessing upon people's lives. In Jesus' name, let it be so.
So Lord, I just speak on these guys this special discernment as your burden comes on them. And they take the burden that you've placed on them for ministry. And I just pray for discernment to receive your burden and not to receive burdens that are false from the world or from other people. But to take the burden that you give them, Lord, and to shoulder it with patience, with grace, persistence, faithfulness, Lord, and with joy. And we just speak that on them, Lord, this capacity to understand, to receive from you, to discern what's from you, and to carry it. As they bear this burden for our body, Lord, we just bless them. We bless them with this, with gratefulness that they desire to serve us. And we're so grateful, Lord. And so we bless them. And we just speak your encouragement on them and your peace and the power that comes from you to carry what you give them to carry, Lord. In Jesus' name.
All right, let's have those folks come up. Let's just gather, get a few more. We want families, older people, children. Let's come up when we're going to anoint these guys with oil.
Father, right now I just speak your spirit would rest over Rory and Breezy, that it would empower them to do all that you've called them to do, Father, and that you would just bring about your plans and your purposes through this aspect of our spiritual walk with you, God. And we just thank you for their willingness to serve you and to serve us and to serve everyone in this community, to lead them into a closer relationship with you, Father. And just pray blessings over their life as they embark on this new path that you have for them. In Jesus' name.
All right, we're going to anoint you guys with oil. We got a few folks with it on their fingers. Lord, we bless these guys. As we anoint them now, God, we ask that a Holy Spirit baptism would fall on them afresh and anew again to empower them, to lead, to encourage. God, to have discernment and wisdom, to hear people, to help people, to be available. God, I ask for grace upon their schedule. God, I ask for strength to their marriage in Jesus' name as they take on this burden. Lord, that you would strengthen their marriage in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, we cover them with the spiritual authority of this church leadership team, of this church family. And we pray, place a hedge of protection around them in Jesus' name. And we say everything that they're going to give their hands to that's of you will prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. All right, let's have a hand to the Lord and to these guys. That's good. All right, I'm gonna give these guys the microphones here. And I'm not sure if it was just gonna be Rory or Breezy, but we got them both on. Is it both you guys?
I thought we were just going to get up here and kind of talk about life group. Whew, a little emotional. It's good.
So, hi, kids. Are they doing good? You good? Wave at me. Hi. In 2004, I walked through that back door for the first time at youth group. It was a Wednesday night. And so I was like 14, 13, I don't know. And this young, skinny kid with long, curly hair wearing like an orange bandana runs. He jumps into my arms. This is the first time I saw him. He's like, "Hi, I'm Rory." And that's how I met Rory back there. That was the first time that we met. And so since then, we were friends. We kind of grew up together, high school. I'm just letting you know for people who don't know us, or you're like, who are these people standing up here? We were next-door neighbors for 6 years. Our parents lived next door to each other on the golf course. So I was literally the girl next door. But we were always friends. When I was in college, between my junior and senior year, we went to Europe, five of us. Ryan was there, and We backpacked Europe for 2 months, and so we fell in love in Switzerland, pretty much. And then, I don't know, like 6 months later, we got engaged in Hawaii on a family vacation there. And then 6 months after that, we were married in Bayfield, and I think a lot of you were there. And so you guys have seen us grow and grow up here. And I wanted to say that because we love Pagosa. We love this city. And we love this body. And we've been here. This has been home and family for a long time. And we've traveled all over the world. And I don't know what it is, but there's something so special here. And when people come and visit, people come and stay, they're like, wow, like the people here are amazing. And so about 2.5 years ago, we found out that we were moving to Oklahoma. We always knew we were coming back. We knew we were going to be there for about 2 to 3 years, and so for his job. And so we were really excited about it because we knew the Lord's hand was on it, and we knew he was going to do a few things. We knew that he was going to teach us how to rest, as well as like establish us in our marriage. And we knew that the Lord was going to give us like unified vision for what we wanted to do, because obviously Rory's very talented. He's amazing. He can play every instrument up there, but we knew that the Lord had something for us to run with together. And so we get to Oklahoma, and we joined a church, joined a body, and we started going to life groups there at that church. And, you know, I think all of us have been a part of small groups in one way or another at one point in our lives, and it's been awesome. But there was just something different because it was essentially mandatory at the body that we are at for people to attend small groups. And God did so much in our hearts and in our marriage during that time, but I don't know. It's so good. I want to read the scripture, then I'm going to tell you some testimonies. So, everyone's heard this scripture. Acts 2, 42 through 47. If you want to turn there, I'm sure most of you have it memorized. But this is where our hearts are at and what we're going to be talking about today. So, they joined with other believers, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all believers met together constantly. They shared everything they had. They sold their possessions. They shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. So at our life group, it was all kind of young adults, people in the same age and stage of life as us. And the Lord was doing things on our hearts. But I just wanted to share a testimony of a couple that we ran and did life with together. They had had several miscarriages, I think like 3 or 4. And they came to us brokenhearted. They're like, we can't do this anymore. You know, we're losing hope. We don't have faith. And so we were like, you know what, forget this. And we started praying together, contending together as a life group every single week. Then they got pregnant, and then we didn't stop. We kept praying every single week. We laid hands on them. Even if they were gone, we were praying and praying and praying over them. There were so much tears and joy. And they had that baby 2 weeks ago. And it's so cool because, you know, because I felt like, you know, this is prayer. I feel like we've all seen the power of prayer. But to me, that was prayer running together in community. And just a few things in Acts 2 that it touches on. It says that they met in the temple, you know, so I would, you know, the church. And they worshiped together in the church, and that's awesome. And Justin talked about this as well as Mark. But we meet together on Sundays. We worship together. But it also says that they met in homes. They shared meals together. They prayed for each other. They met each other's needs. And so that's where our hearts are at. And so in Oklahoma, we got a burden that we believe in the prophetic destiny of this city. We believe in the prophetic destiny of this church. And we don't think that that can happen without true community, without like Acts 2 community, where we, if we are already meeting each other's needs, if we're already established in this, then we'll be able to meet the needs of the thousands of people that are going to come here for a city of refuge. And so that's where our heart's at. And we think that the Lord's just going to grow. And anyway, Rory's going to talk some more. And I'll fill in a few.
Yeah, I just want to just tag right off that and really hit hard. And Nicole, you know, she said it just a moment ago about this being a city of refuge. And if we really believe as this body, you know, the prophetic words that have come through this body, that the random people that have come saying the exact same thing over and over for more than a decade. And if we truly believe that, this is really putting feet to that. But right now, we're not ready for that. And so we were in a leadership meeting a couple weeks ago when Justin said this, this is not just another ministry. This is a part of who we are, and this is the structure that we need to put in place. So this isn't just another thing to do. It's a thing that will be our sustainability. This is what will be our food. This is how we'll meet our relationships and our needs together. In our life group in Norman, like she said, it was just a bunch of young couples, and there were many times where financially or someone, I mean, there was our life group leader, they got their car stolen and a bunch of their stuff in their house while they were gone over the weekend. And we just banded together, and it wasn't even a big deal. We just said, hey, this is what the need is. And then everyone showed up the next week, and we had enough to cover whatever that was lost. And so it's just meeting needs, and it wasn't a burden for us to do that. It was just, yeah, this is what we need to do. And so right now, the structure that we have in Sunday morning is great, but like Justin said, this isn't where the relationships happen. This isn't where our needs are truly met. This is where we, you catch a vision, and then we go deeper in life groups. It's hard for the leadership team, our elders, they do an awesome job, but they don't have the time. We don't have the resources to meet every single person's need. Having small groups of people together, that's how we meet needs, and we're really establishing the life group leaders to hold that authority in each group to handle these situations that that we have that come up. But I want to be very clear about this, that we are not replacing small groups, and I'm going to separate small groups and life groups real quick. Life groups they're a structured group that we meet together, and it's really the Restoration Fellowship's discipleship program, okay? I'm just going to put that in your mind, okay? This is not small group. We're not going to do book studies in this. We're not going to do extracurricular Bible studies in this. This is just our foundationals, and what it'll look like is every single week, we're going to meet in homes, and it's all going to be different. We have different focuses. Breezy and I are going to do a group that is specifically focused on young married and young single people, some with babies, some not, but just that stage of life, and we're really going to hone in that. And then most of our groups are kind of mixed ages, so we can have some older people and some younger people in there to really gain that wisdom and for the older people to get that zeal that the younger people have. And then we have the Woods, who aren't here this morning. They're driving back from Colorado Springs, but their focus is going to be young families. And so really meeting that need of where we are as a body in the stage of life, but also meeting this discipleship need as well with these mixed age groups. So we will still have small groups. Sherry Gorman, I know, has a book study with just women. That is small groups. That is not a life group. And we'll have other studies. And we're going to run that all under us just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, but also to give support to the leaders that are going out there and doing something. And that's the problem. I mean, we've been a part of this church for about 13 years now. And I've seen many life groups or small groups come and go. There's not sustainable. There's not support for the people that are leading it. And except for Mark and Becky, but like they're just freaks, you know. Like they're like it's like them and then everybody else, you know? So that's our hearts. And I want to, you know, what they've done in their sustainability, they have done it, but unfortunately not everybody has the drive that Mark and Becky do. And we want to honor that and really coming under what they're doing, just say, how can we help and how can we support people that want to get involved with this? So small groups are still happening, but they're going to be a little bit different. Those are things that, hey, yeah, book study will come, and then they can dismember, you know. But life groups are the steady. We're going to be there every single week. And some weeks it's going to be we're going to get deep into what we're saying on Sunday. Other times it's going to be going to the park, having some fun. Some is just having a meal together and just meeting. And sometimes it'll just be a worship night. Sometimes it'll just be, and it really depends on the life group leader. And so we have a structure to fall back on, but really it'll be week to week. What is going on? What are the needs that need to be met? And we're going to meet those through these smaller life groups. This is also the structure really has the ability to hear everybody's needs and voice, like I said earlier. And so if you have any needs or prayer requests, that goes to your life group leader. If it's something that is so beyond them, then it'll go up and up. But not everything is on our eldership, like I said. They still will have that oversight, but we really want to meet the needs as soon as possible and know what they are right off the bat. And this, I mean, honestly, if you read through the scripture, this is how the church is supposed to be walked out, this corporate setting, okay? And then you go deeper in a home with your friends, with your the smaller group. And what they said earlier with the kids and having the city of refuge, people coming in, this is how we filter people in. Get them connected, and we can really know, hey, there's something that's going on here that we need to address, and we have cleansing streams, and we have all these things that are at our fingertips, but if we don't know those needs, and those people don't know those needs, we don't know how to direct them. And so this is really bringing that in to where we can have a good structure for people to come in, get connected as soon as possible, and go deep in the Word, go deep with each other in relationships. And this is also a structure that's sustainable, and I'm going to talk about that for just a moment. So again, what we've seen over the past, you know, however long that we've had small groups and everything outside of the Thompsons is you have a life group leader or a small group that gets established. And then once that study's done or once the people are done leading it, it goes away. How we're going to combat that is we have our leaders that we're going to bring up here in a second. But if there's, because things happen in life. There's no doubt about it. And we have so many talented people here that have that leadership ability. If they're if the leaders, you know, something comes up, an emergency or just a season in life, we're like, man, I can't do this anymore. We have co-leaders that are going to be raised up in each group underneath those people. And so if anything happens for the life group leaders, there's going to be another couple that is going to take the mantle of leadership and keep that group moving and really sustain that. And so as we get into this flow of it, and guys, it's going to be a little crazy at the beginning. We have five groups right now for the adults and then one group for the kids right now. And so we're going to try to get, you know, as many people connected as possible, but it's going to get a little crazy. So moving into the other thing, we really want to see 15 people in a group, adults, not including kids. You know, that would be like the Cheez-Its would meet by themselves, you know. So 15 adults in a group. And then once it gets, you know, 20, 30, we're going to integrate something called multiplication, okay? And so what that means, again, with the co-leaders, that group will split off into two different groups. And I'm just going to tell you a testimony. I was very nervous about this when in our life group in Norman. The first time it happened was about 2 months in. And so, you know, we were in this life group, you know, most of these guys had like gone through high school together and then graduated college and then they all got married. And so there was like this group over here that was kind of, you know, a clique. And then you had like kind of all the loners, some single people and some couples that just kind of came. And then the life group leader was, you know, friends with all these groups. And so, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we're going to multiply in 4 weeks. Just start praying about it. Don't talk to anybody. And then we're going to, you know, separate and we'll do two different groups. And here are the leaders for this one and we'll stay leaders of this one. And Breezy and I got home and I turned to Breezy. And I'm like, I know exactly how this is going to go. It's just going to split right here. They're going to go and stay with their kind of group of friends. And then these guys are just going to be a bunch of loners all together, you know. And so we kept going through it. They kept saying, hey, just keep praying about it. Really ask the Lord where they would have you go. And so it got to the week, and we didn't really even talk about it, but We showed up, we prayed about it, and we really felt like the Lord was bringing, just having us stay with the same group. And literally, guys, you could have took a knife right down the middle of this group and right down to the middle of this group, and they flip-flopped. And friends that, I mean, literally, through high school, junior high, through college, and they separated groups because that's where they felt the Lord leading them. And it was amazing. There was no hurt feelings. It was, you know, it was just like we showed up like, great, let's do life. The Lord has called us here together to do life together. And that's what we want to integrate into this for sustainability. And because, as you know, as small groups or life groups get bigger and bigger and bigger, you start losing that personal aspect that you bring. You stop meeting each other's need because there's so many going on that you can't handle it all. And so having these smaller groups and having the ability to, that everybody is aware there is multiplication that happens. And then, you know, when we're a small body, so at a certain point, I think it's going to level out, and we're really just going to run with the group, and we want to stay with that group. And but I would encourage you guys, as you're getting into this, visit a couple of different life groups and really figure out where you fit the best. We don't want this to turn into a clique, but we also want you guys to be comfortable with who you're with. So definitely just wanted to give you guys a heads up on how that is going. So that's kind of the overall vision of what we want to, I guess, shed on what is going on, because we want to do life together. We want to go deep together and really bring into a new season of meeting each other's needs and preparing for what we have to come. Now we've talked about it a couple times this morning, but the prophetic destiny and being a city of rescue, just a show of hands, how many people know what I'm talking about? Real quick. Okay, so a good majority. So I'm just going to just briefly, and Justin, what was it, back in October, you kind of went over this? August, okay. So Justin kind of compiled all the prophetic words that have happened over, I mean, years and years that have since 92, okay, which is that when y'all came? Okay, 90. Okay, so the DeBoers came in 90, so from 92 to present, Justin compiled and dictated all of the prophetic words that came through this church, speaking specifically on the prophetic destiny. And what that looks like is that time and time and time and time again that the Pagosa has been called a city of refuge. In the end times and whatever that looks like, in a time of crisis, that we are going to be a city that receives people, that in a practical way, I think, for meeting their needs, but also in a spiritual way, because we've seen it, I mean, over and over and over again, where you talk to somebody, they're like, hey, you know, we just moved to Pagosa, and hey, how'd you get here? Well, you know, I was just praying about it, and Pagosa Springs, I'd never even heard of Pagosa Springs, but then I'm here. And then, or, you know, I was flipping through an atlas, and then I just said, hey, Lord, where do you want me to go? And I pointed, and it landed on this little town in Colorado, Pagosa Springs. And you just hear story and story and story after just about how they got there. So it's already happening, this exodus to Pagosa from other places. And so meeting that place of need spiritually and physically is how this is really walked out. So that's just kind of what we're talking about a little bit. And man, we are excited. We're excited to see this walked out. And so, I want, let's see here. We got Ryan and Jess. Go ahead and come up here. The McTiernans. Mark and Becky. The Franklin's been sick today. Aww.
I think Linda's in the nursery.
Oh, there's Linda. Look at her. Gosh, she looks good. Look at her. Come on. Come on, everybody. All right. So, and then the Woods, like I said, are traveling today. And so they are not here, but they are the young family life group leaders for right now. So Mark and Becky have two life groups. One's on Monday at 6 o'clock. One's on Tuesday at 6:45. That's going to be more of mixed ages. And a lot of you guys are already a part of that or have been there at one point or another. And we want to, again, about 15 people adults in a group, and we want this consistent. We want people to show up. And so what we're going to do as I'm introducing these people, if you kind of feel a tug of like, man, I think I want to be a part of that life group, there's sign-up sheets in the back, but there's also a sheet that I want you guys to take with all of the life group leaders, their numbers, and their email addresses. What we want this week is for you to reach out to them, either call them or email them, because what we don't want to happen is like 100 people show up at Mark and Becky's tomorrow. You know, that's great, but that's a little overwhelming. So really communicate with them. This is a partnership. We're here to serve you, but we need communication, and we also need involvement. So make sure that y'all, like I said, visit a couple of life groups, but reach out to them. Their contact information is on that one sheet. So Mark and Becky, mixed ages, both of those groups. Ryan and Jess, you know, they're the directors of youth groups. And so they have the youth life group now. And they did their first one last week. Yep. And it was amazing. There was about 15 kids that showed up. And so so that's what's happening at their house. Their contact information is in the back as well. So the Franklins and the McTiernans are teaming up together to see how it goes. If there's like 30 people, they're going to split off immediately. If there's not, they're just going to lead together. Also mixed ages, okay? Ben Franklin is out sick. And so we'll be thinking about him. And then Breezy and I are going to be heading up the life group for young married, young singles, kind of that age group. And we do want to see, you know, young families with babies. If you guys like us better than these guys, come on over. You know what I mean? So, and then we have Zach and Whitney Wood, who have three little kids, and they're going to do young families. And I'm really excited for that because, you know, we're Pagosa. So we're just gonna embrace the mess. You know, bring your kids. They're going to throw them upstairs and have fun and really get deep together. And with that, what we're going to do, they want to meet all but 1 week with the kids. And then 1 week, they're gonna get together, hire a babysitter, and that's just going to be the parents. And they're just going to meet together and really spend a night to go deep or to have fun and just to kind of let loose. And then these guys are going to do the opposite. And so all no kids except 1 week, and then they'll have kids come. So that's kind of the structure that we're having. So Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 to 8, Thursday from 4:30 in the morning, okay, 6 to 8 as well, 6 to whenever. They're partiers. So, and then the Woods are going to be doing Wednesday from 6:30 to whenever they leave. And we want to encourage meals and snacks to happen because I think that's, I mean, it specifically outlines it in Acts 2. Talks about sharing a meal together, and I think that is so key. And whether that's crackers and cheese or a full-on smorgasbord, I think it's key. And then we're going to meet on Thursdays at 7 o'clock because we're late nighters, you know. So that's kind of what we have going on. I would encourage you, these guys are going to be in the back. Talk to them, you know, kind of catch their vision for what they want to do. But really, it's all going to try to look the same no matter where you go. And that's the sustainability aspect that we're trying to get, that no matter where anyone comes in new and connects, that they have the same foundational teaching, that they have the same foundational relationships, and how that looks in our body. And we want to encourage you to, if you don't have time, you're like, man, I got stuff on every single night. If it's ministry later, I would encourage you, if you need to drop something, do it to be a part of this. Because as Justin said, this is our foundation. This is where the rubber meets the road and where we get serious about stuff. So that's really it that we have to say. And like I said, these leaders are going to be up there, and we'll be back there as well. And so here's Justin.
All right, let's give these guys a hand. I'm going to have them all make their way to the back. And then, Greg, if you want to get some music ready, because we got everybody on our worship teams leading the life group. So we don't mandate things at Restoration. We find that doesn't go well for our community. This free spirited mountain kind of thing. But what we do really well is we strongly encourage, right? So how many of you know, if you've been coming here for more than, at least, if you've been coming here for like a year or more, you've been asked probably twice at least to go to Cleansing Stream. We strongly encourage Cleansing Stream, but we don't mandate it. But we kind of are going to hound you till you finally give in. We're going to do the same thing with these life groups. We're going to hound you till you give in, because we so strongly believe in these, just the same way as we so strongly believe in Cleansing Stream and the ministry and the fruit that we've seen come out of it. So I want to encourage you. I have been praying for a while that you would take this seriously. It's like, Lord, when this Sunday comes, Lord, let them respond with some seriousness. Now, if you don't make your decision today, that's fine. If you kind of interview these guys and sign up, I do want you to. Some of you guys have already kind of, yep, I'm going to do this. Some of you are saying, my schedule does not allow this. And what I want to say is the same thing that Rory said, and Tara and I, if we looked at our schedule, we're saying we're going to place this really high in our priorities. And we know that there's some things that are making us busy that are not as high a priority as our relationships and our discipleship. And we're going to eliminate a few things so we can do this. And I want to encourage you to take that same seriousness. So why don't we stand? And then I want you to take some time and just mingle with these guys, talk to them. Why don't you guys spread out a little bit as small group leaders so they can, kind of talk to you individually. It's not a big swarm of people. So join me as I pray here. Lord, we're grateful that you have designed us to be in relationship with one another. And Lord, right now, I ask you for all the people that are in the midst of us today that are sitting in this building that don't feel connected to this church family. And God, I pray that they would find a group to connect to, and that you would show them who they're supposed to connect with, that they would put it on their schedule, or we were never created to be in isolation. And God, I pray right now that you would cause this family to come together in a bigger way through these life groups. Lord, I pray for those that are already established. There's many leaders in this house. There's many gifts in this house that are not being utilized. And I pray that this outlet of life groups would be the place where they're able to bring their gift and minister to others. God, I pray that you would bless and that you would shine upon these life groups, that life in the heart, in the spirit, in the practical would happen. And Lord, I pray that we would have grace to clear our schedules of the less important things to give ourselves to the important things. And I ask that you would help us as we do that, that you would speak to us about those things. So why don't you guys, I don't do a lot of repetitive prayers, it's not really my style, but why don't you just repeat after me? Lord, I ask you to show me how I am to be connected to this. That you would convict my heart of how I spend my time, of who I need to be in relationship with, to grow in a greater way in my faith and my love for you. Amen.